evening, good to see you all. Before we have a think about that short passage together, let me just ask for God's help. Our Father, we've been hearing lots in the book of James about how you call us to live, and yet we acknowledge that we find that hard a lot of the time, and so we pray again for your help this evening. Please equip us through your word to be those who are able to better live for you this week. Amen. Well, have you ever put the wrong fuel in your car? It's a particular worry of mine, particularly when I borrow someone else's car. Actually, I borrowed Rob's car last summer to take to camp. My street cred with the teenagers rocketed when I arrived in a Skoda. But I always have that fear that I'm gonna just unthinkingly be set in my ways. I borrowed someone else's car and I'm gonna put the wrong fuel in it. And because you have that choice, don't you? You've got green or you've got black. You've got unleaded or you've got diesel. Two options, but with two very different outcomes. One of them will help your car run just as it's supposed to. You'll be able to get where you need to go, no issues at all. The other will cause great damage to your engine. It'll ruin all your plans, and you'll have a big expensive bill to pay, and you might fall out with a work colleague as well. You see, two options, two very different outcomes. It really matters that you put in the right fuel. Well, this evening we're going to see that it's the same when it comes to the kind of wisdom that we live by. Just like filling up your car, there are two options of wisdom to live by that lead to two very different outcomes. You'll remember that in the book of James, we've been thinking a lot about the way we live. We've been challenged to be single-minded in serving God and serving one another. And last week, if you were here or if you tuned in online, you'll know we focused in on our tongues. And we had that sobering reminder that we are all prone to use our tongues in ways that are unkind and destructive. So I wonder how it's gone this week trying to be more aware of what your tongue is doing and seeking to control it. If it's anything like me, there will have been some encouragements, but also no doubt some less good moments. Well, the big insight of today's passage is that wherever this kind of double-mindedness exists, it shows we've got a wisdom problem. We're putting the wrong fuel in. And so our big question for the evening, which will come up on the screen, what kind of wisdom are you fueling your life with? What kind of wisdom are you fueling your life with? Earthly wisdom or heavenly wisdom? And that close connection between wisdom and our behaviour is introduced for us in verse 13. If you've got a Bible, just look down there. Verse 13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." Do you see, true wisdom will always produce godly, attractive behaviour. Well, brilliant, we say. That is what we need. And so, of course, the million-dollar question then is, well, what is this wisdom and how do we get it? Well, the first thing to notice, just in verse 13, is that word humility. The humility that comes from wisdom. And this is surprising, I think, because we often think of wisdom, the kind of wisdom and understanding that leads actually people to be quite puffed up, quite arrogant. You know, the kind of thing you might see in certain classmates or colleagues, the ones who know everything, it kind of leads to arrogance. Or might be displayed by academics or so-called experts in their fields. They're seen as the wise ones and they're quite proud about it. But James is saying, no, true wisdom always comes hand in hand with humility. That's pretty countercultural. And then we move on to the rest of our passage where these two different types of wisdom are described for us in terms of where they come from and what kind of fruit they produce. So first up in verses 14 to 16, it's the one to avoid. Earthly, arrogant wisdom produces bad fruit. Earthly, arrogant wisdom produces bad fruit. So let me read verses 14 to 16 again.
But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice.
That's quite some list of characteristics, isn't it? Earthly, unspiritual, demonic.
Earthly not being a particularly good thing here. It describes a type of wisdom that is unhelpfully narrow. You know, God and the reality of God's rule over the world doesn't really get a look in. Human reason, human feelings are what reigns supreme. And ultimately, this wisdom is demonic in that it's an approach to life that the devil wholeheartedly endorses, because God is sidelined, shoved off to the side, out of the picture. Maybe that's all still a bit abstract. What does this wisdom look like? Consider some of the other words that are used to describe it here. So bitter envy and selfish ambition. You see, this kind of wisdom, earthly wisdom, is all about serving yourself. God's not most important. Other people aren't most important. I am. And the outcome then is all too predictable. Boasting, false speech, disorder, all sorts of evil practices. If we live by this kind of wisdom, well, we're going to promote ourselves. We're going to say things that serve us rather than saying what is actually true. We'll clash with others because, well, that's what happens when you put selfish people together in a room. I don't think it requires any particularly special insight to observe that this is a mark of the world we live in. A world where we are told to embrace individualism, to follow our hearts, to fulfill ourselves and our needs. And on the surface, some of that can sound pretty positive, you know, fulfill yourself, follow your hearts. But you don't have to do much digging to see that the only way to really achieve those things is to sideline the Creator God and what He might have to say about your life. And to downplay the needs of others who might actually get in the way of you achieving your dreams and fulfilling yourself. A world full of people trying to follow their hearts and satisfy their needs is always going to lead to conflict. And that's us as well, isn't it? Just because we're Christians, we're not inoculated against this. James is writing to Christians. We saw last week that we are all double-minded. We all produce the kind of fruit that shows that sometimes we really buy into this kind of wisdom. So we've got earthly, arrogant wisdom, which cannot but produce bad fruit. But then there's another kind of wisdom, the kind of fuel which will have a completely different effect on us. Verse 17, heavenly, humble wisdom produces good fruits. I'll just read again verse 17 and 18 for us. But the wisdom that comes down from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Do you see, far from sidelining God, this kind of wisdom is completely dependent on Him. It comes down from heaven, from God, to us. We receive it as we lift our eyes from ourselves to God. It's the kind of wisdom that says, God is big and I'm small. God knows best, and so I'm going to humbly listen to Him. I'm going to let Him and His word be in the driving seat of my life. That's heavenly wisdom. And James, he's certainly not the first Bible author to make this point. In speaking about wisdom in this way, he's drawing on a rich Bible heritage. You may be aware of the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, which is all about wisdom and where it comes from and how we get it. And perhaps most famous is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, which we're going to have on screen, which says this. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Knowledge, wisdom, instruction, they're all fairly interchangeable there. But do you spot the two same types of wisdom in that verse? There's the earthly fool, who's very much above instruction, too smart for it, not needed, thank you very much. But then there's the person for whom God is front and central. They grasp something of his eternal greatness, his bigness. They grasp something of his moral perfection, his goodness. And so they rightly, reverently fear him. They have an openness to him. They're willing to listen to his voice. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, of knowledge. And that was Jesus, wasn't it? And when Jesus came and took on human flesh, well, he demonstrated this exact posture before his Father. How easy for Jesus to say, to realize that actually he was quite a big deal, and to be driven by pride, and so to decide to plot his own path through life. But he didn't do that. We're told that the teenage Jesus grew in wisdom as he listened to his Father. His whole life he humbled himself under his Father's will. And the fruit of that for Jesus was a life just like that described in verse 17. Pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, sincere. That's the kind of fruit that we see in Jesus' life, because he lived by this kind of wisdom. Well, if Jesus was willing to adopt a position of humility, how much more ought we to? To press on with earthly wisdom in the face of all of our sin and failures, well, that would be really foolish, wouldn't it? Of course, humility doesn't come easily. Now, we don't like admitting that we're in the wrong, that we've mucked up. We're not naturally keen to acknowledge that God is big and we're small, that God is perfect and that we're flawed in many ways. But it is absolutely the right thing to do. Now, the Christian life is one of coming empty-handed to God. That's how it begins. As we come and we receive the salvation that Jesus won for us on the cross. And that's how it's to continue, as we come empty-handed and receive the wisdom that will help us increasingly to live God's way in his world. Now, that's a wonderful list in verse 17, isn't it? A wonderful list of characteristics that we can possess if we humble ourselves before God and before his words. Where before there was disorder, well, now there can be peace. And notice also the ripple effects that this will have in verse 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. See what it's saying? As we live humbly before God, well, that is going to be a great thing, not just for us, but for all of those we come across. People will relish friendship with us, or even just relish the small interactions that they have with us as we go about our day-to-day lives, because we are those who bring peace, who sow peace. Now, as we close, let me read how one writer, Ray Ortland, describes the effect that living with this heavenly wisdom has on us. Now, this is how he describes it. He says, that reverence towards God, perhaps surprisingly, it builds our confidence and it flows out as a fountain of life into everyone and everything we care about. It takes us to that place of maturity where no one has to follow us around with a tedious list of do's and don'ts constantly telling us what to do. We're motivated from deep within. We know what is right, and it's what we love because it's of God. I'm going to pray for us as we close. Earlier in James, he says this. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that coming to you and admitting our shortcomings and our failures to you, that is not going to leave us condemned, but rather that is the path to a life well lived. Please, would you give us the wisdom that we need? Please help us to remain humble before you. And please help us to be those who use our tongues, who use our whole bodies to do good to others and to bring honour to your name. Amen.